Chapter 37.
The whole world had fallen into war, and the Archknights petitioned me many times to stop. I ignored them, as I knew they had no right to intervene in matters regarding nations. They continued to bother me, eventually assigning a personal counselor from their ranks. I called him Puppy. The continued resources that maintained my armies were more crucial at that time than ever before. This was the reason why I reacted so strongly when Daybreak, one of my larger Hamaran cities, rebelled.
Daylan entered the sitting room to see Lyra on one of the couches. A sharp stab of guilt struck him with such force that his legs lost strength for an instant. Catching himself in an armchair, Daylan paused to breathe in before managing to stand. Bracing himself, he looked back to the woman. The guilt surged again, but this time, being prepared for it, he stood strong.
"I've seen you use your powers to heal, so why are you still injured?" Lyra said.
"It's not that kind of injury. I just didn't sleep well."
She nodded, her face softening for a moment. Daylan walked to the tray of cloche-covered plates that was near the door. Apparently, breakfast had been delivered. He took one and walked to the dining table, glad for the excuse to get away from the woman. Sitting, he removed the cloche and found a meal that had to be Chaurasian cuisine. It looked really good, but even that couldn't brighten his mood. The seat in front of him was pulled back and someone sat. Daylan looked up to see Lyra, and his guilt surged again. She was still so young. But then again, everyone looked young to Daylan. To most people, he supposed Lyra would appear aged and hard.
"You need to watch me eat?" Daylan asked. "You can eat a shoe for all I care. We need to talk."
Daylan glanced at her, and heartache ripped through his chest so pure that he grunted under his breath. He would just have to bear it.
"Then talk," he said with half a breath.
"The Bringer says you won't reveal how you became a Lightbinder."
"Correct."
"Will you tell me where you were when it happened?"
"No."
She studied him for a moment before asking,
"Why are you keeping the secret? You don't seem to like the Order very much."
"The Arch Order of Light is the single most important institution in the world. You need your powers to do what you do, whereas others not bound to your cause would abuse it to their own benefit."
That seemed to surprise her, though she was certainly doing her best to keep her face a mask.
"And you won't abuse them?" she asked.
"No more than you,"
Daylan said, not flinching from the woman's gaze. She stared back at him as if their eyes were in a duel.
"And you'll keep knowledge that might threaten the Order to yourself."
"I wonder what you're referring to,"
Daylan said, triggering the spring-loaded dagger in his gauntlet. He casually raised his gauntlet and reset the dagger.
"But if there was anything that might threaten the Order, say something that could nullify their powers, I would be pretty light-cursed stupid to reveal it to anyone, considering it would affect me too."
She frowned deeply, clearly understanding the not-so-subtle subtext.
"How did you know my name?"
"Black." He had hoped she would have forgotten that.
"My father,"
Daylan said reluctantly. Lyra's jaw tensed, and she took some very measured breaths. Her hands gripped the edge of the table, and she replied with a voice quivering in anger.
"He mentioned me by name?"
"Yes," Daylan said softly. "You probably don't want to hear this, but no man has ever borne as much guilt than my father. One night he spoke of the people he felt he had mistreated most. He didn't say what he had done specifically, but for some reason most were women, you one of the more prominent among them. He even described your appearance, which was why I recognize you. I don't know what my father did to you,"
Daylan lied, "but he..."
"Stop!"
Lyra said, her hands white from gripping the table so hard. Her head was bowed, and she seemed to struggle to regain control of herself.
"She hates me so much. Well, no wonder."
Lyra eventually calmed.
"Are you really a master of the sword?" she asked, clearly forcing a change of subject.
"Yes."
"How?"
"My father taught me."
Lyra briefly paused before saying, "You'll be going to the constabulary in fall." Amazing that even with someone whom Dalen felt he had done so much wrong, he could still resent them if they tried to boss him around. He ate some food and swallowed a disrespectful retort with it. Instead, he chose a much more managed response, but even then it was laced with more force than he intended.
"You don't need to tell me my business. I've said I'll turn myself in and I keep my word."
Lyra stared back at him, and again, for the slightest moment, there was a hint of the poor, frightened girl he once knew in her expression. It vanished quickly, replaced with hardness. What had caused that flash of vulnerability?
"That's yet to be determined," Lyra said.
Dalen breathed out long and slow as he tried to cope with the guilt from being so close to this woman.
"And will you trust me once it is?" he asked. "A first step."
She was smart to be so cautious. Lyra certainly hadn't grown up to be a fool. Lyra was looking back at him, but her eyes eventually broke from his gaze, glancing to the side. Others might have thought that sideways glance meant nothing, but Dalen could read people, and he saw that tiny flash of vulnerability again. Lyra looked back at him angrily.
"What?"
He realized he had been staring. He looked away.
"It's nothing."
Dalen wasn't going to tell her what he had just realized, that she was afraid of him. She was fighting it, and most people wouldn't have noticed, but Dalen did, and there was only one thing that Dalen could think of that would do that. It was who he looked like, who he sounded like. Himself. Just a much younger version. Dalen could only imagine what this poor girl thought of the monster that had imprisoned and raped her every low for a month, but judging by these reactions, Lyra still struggled with what he had done to her. It wasn't just the anger and hate she had struggled with when Dalen had lied about how he knew her name. It was fear. Dalen had permanently damaged this poor woman, he realized with a sudden surge of guilt, and he could think of no punishment painful enough that would adequately administer justice for that crime. No wonder the light tormented him so relentlessly, and all this simply served to reinforce Dalen's knowledge that he deserved it. The pain he felt, the guilt, the heartache at seeing the damage he had caused, to see the fruit of his sins, he deserved it all.
"Nothing,"
Lyra said accusingly.
"Just look at your face. If you have a problem with me, spit it out."
Well, Dalen couldn't exactly say he had just realized that she was still damaged from him raping her. He had to make something up.
"It's just that..."
He hesitated. He couldn't think of a good reply. He needed to say something that would satisfy her accusation and also make sense as to why Dalen would try and hide it. And if his reply came too late, it would only look like he was thinking up another lie. He looked down, and nothing clever came to him. Looking up, he was struck by the image of Lyra's face, and ended up blurting out the very same thought as it came into his mind.
"You're beautiful."
Well, that had stunned her, as well as Dalen. Lyra's face was frozen in quiet consternation, a reddening blush heating her cheeks.
"I'm such a light-blinded, blackened idiot," he thought at himself in horror.
There was a reason people said to think before one speaks. What Dalen had said was true, of course. She really was beautiful. But only a bloody idiot would blurt it out like that, especially considering what Dalen had done to her. It had been a profoundly stupid thing to say. Lyra had completely withdrawn mentally. Her breathing had increased, and she was clearly feeling anxious. She closed her eyes and, clearly taking stock, slowly stopped looking so nervous. Instead, she looked merely uncomfortable. Yes, indeed, the air felt very awkward now, and Lyra was looking at everything but him.
"Sorry," Dalen eventually said.
I didn't mean it that way.
I don't want to know what it meant. I'd rather we not talk about it.
Good. So, the weather? What about it? It's very weather-like.
Lyra held a gaze on him for a moment before a small smile cracked her expression.
Yes. Similarly, I've noticed that for some reason trees act a lot like trees.
Dalen smiled.
The world's full of mysteries.
Mysteries like why a pubescent troublemaker is trying to make small talk with someone who clearly doesn't like him.
Lyra was glaring at him, and Dalen was stunned by the massive mood swing.
Hurry up and eat, kid, Lyra said, leaving the table abruptly. I'll be taking you to the constabulary within the hour, she added, before walking to the sitting room and finding a couch with its back to Dalen. Dalen's surprise was quickly melted away by anger. Keeping control of his tongue was all he could do as his shaking fists clenched his cutlery, pressing them into the mahogany dining table. He remained in that state for a good minute, breathing deeply and letting his rage come under control. Dalen eventually dropped his knife and fork, leaning back in frustration and saying under his breath, "Bitch." Around 10 minutes after Lyra had left, Arik emerged and joined Dalen at the dining table with one of the plates. Dalen hadn't eaten anything.
I'm pleased to report that Archknight Cusag is a wonderful man. He made that breakfast you're eating. It's a traditional Eurasian dish called Kapaden.
I don't really care.
Arik sighed.
What's put you in such a foul mood?
Dalen didn't reply. Arik glanced to the sitting room.
Ah, not getting along, I see.
Really? You sure?
Dalen bit out.
Arik, this was a bad idea.
It was the only peaceful solution.
Yeah, well, right now I'm feeling like a little less peace would be nice. I need to hit something.
You're frustrated.
A knock came from the door, cutting Arik off.
I'll get it,
Dalen said, happy for a reason to end the conversation. Opening the door, Dalen found Sane on the other side. The boy had cleaned himself up considerably. He had bathed, and his hair was cut in a stylish fashion. He was wearing black boots over brown slacks and a vest over a loose white shirt with a backsword at his side.
Speaking of hitting something, Dalen said with a smile as he folded his arms.
What?
Sane replied.
Oh, just wishful thinking. It's good to see you.
That comment seemed to surprise the snot.
Really?
As big a pain in the ass as you are, your world's better than what I've had to put up with.
Come in.
Sane entered.
Look, I know you don't want me around. I just wanted to let you know that the salvage claims have been processed. It's all approved.
Sane held out the same leather envelope that had kept the Merovin's registration.
The Merovin is yours.
Dalen took the envelope.
That was black and fast. It should have taken a week.
Well, I think the group of kidnapped girls that needed to be returned to their families, the death of a famous pirate and the capture of his ship put us higher in the queue.
Good point.
There are a lot of people who really want to speak to you.
I'll be visiting the constabulary in fall.
Oh, not the Connors. Reporters. There were like 20 of them trying to get past the security at our stack.
Dalen groaned.
They've already heard of it?
You're famous.
It was Blackheart you killed, and one of the girls you saved is the daughter of some important senator.
Dalen looked to Arik. Arik nodded.
Senator Terrain, if I remember.
She's no more important than the other girls, Dalen said, looking back to Sane.
That's not how they see it,
Sane replied with a shrug. Dalen groaned.
Great.
So, about the Blood Runner, Sane began to ask.
It's yours.
Sane pulled out a folded document from his coat.
Well, that's what this paper says, but really, you should have the ship.
I don't need it.
Stop feeling guilty,
It's yours, as is the rest of the money.
I just don't know what to say.
Don't say anything. Go and make a life for yourself.
Sane stood, looking at his registration, and after a moment suddenly walked to Dalen and hugged him tight. Dalen stiffened, feeling very uncomfortable.
Thank you, Sane said in a quivering voice. That's fine, Dalen said, hugging him back awkwardly.
Sane pulled away, wiping tears from his cheeks and sniffing.
I'd go with you, you know. Help you in whatever it is you're trying to do.
No. All I'll be doing is looking for trouble. You've had enough of that in your life. Go buy a nice house, invest the rest of your money and start a business, get a girl pregnant and raise a family. Live a good life, Sane.
Sane sniffed again and wiped his nose.
That sounds nice.
It is, for those who can do it.
Sane smiled.
And I might be closer to having a family than I thought.
How so?
Well, I've met someone.
When under the light did that happen?
Sane suddenly looked guilty as sin.
She's one of the girls you saved.
What? Dalen erupted. You bow-legged little snot! You took advantage of one of those girls?
Dalen's arm flew back to strike the idiot, but Sane's cowering reply stopped him.
She has nowhere to go! Her family will disown her for what's happened!
Dalen calmed, and his arm lowered.
Shara. She jumped your bone, didn't she?
Sane wilted, blushing conspicuously.
How did you know?
She tried the same on me.
What?
Arik said from the table.
I didn't do anything, Bringer, so loosen your knickers, will you?
Sane's face was red with embarrassment and also jealousy by the look of it.
She tried...
Yeah, but not out of affection. She wanted to go with me, looking for security in her ruined life. She was willing to do anything for that, which was why she threw herself at me. And I'm guessing that's why she threw herself at you.
Sane folded his arms.
So what if it is? I'm not an idiot. I know she can't love me, we've just met. But I like her, and I can give her the safety she wants. If she wants to ride me because of that, it's her choice. But I'd take care of her anyway.
Dalen sighed.
It's not so much her choice, but an instinctive and destructive way of coping with what's happened. She needs to come to terms with it and not continue the same type of abuse, even if it is self-inflicted. I'll talk to her about it.
Sure you will, because you'd love to be celibate again.
I will. I won't lie. I like, you know, that. She's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. But if it's bad for her, I'll stop it.
Dalen was still skeptical, of course, but Sane's commitment was more than he could demand.
All right, good. Who knows, you two might work out. But regardless, that girl has been abused in the most cruel of ways, Sane. So if you're taking her under your wing, you better do right by her.
I will. I promise.
Good. And I'm sorry for flying off the handle.
It wouldn't have felt right if you hadn't.
Dalen chuckled.
Yeah.
There was a silence, and Sane eventually nodded.
I guess this is goodbye, then.
It is. Don't waste this, Sane.
I won't.
Sane stood there for another moment before eventually nodding to Arik and leaving, closing the door behind him. Dalen stood there looking at the closed door, feeling... joy? Not just feeling enjoyment from passing pleasures or comforts, he actually felt genuinely happy. He couldn't remember the last time he had felt like this. That boy's life had just been saved, not just physically, but morally and emotionally. It would have been so easy to kill him. He was a pirate on a crew that had attacked them. But there was such light in him. How many people who do terrible things only do them because of the circumstances of their life? Out of everything Dalen had achieved since becoming young again, stopping crimes, punishing villains, and killing tyrants. This was the best and most noble act of them all, redeeming a life from evil.
"You did a very noble thing for that boy," Arik said, having walked to join him.
"I gave him money. He's the one who's choosing a better life from it."
"You did far more than just give Sane money," the Bringer told him quietly. "You didn't let him get away with any misbehavior while in our care, and showed by your actions that a man can fight against the circumstances of his life."
"Really? I broke his arm, remember?"
"Well, apart from that," Arik acknowledged with a slight chuckle. "Sane's light was shining when he left just now. He's going to do good things with his life. Sometimes all a boy needs is the right type of kick up the rear to see the error of his ways, breaking bones excluded. What you gave him was the discipline he had needed all his life. You'll make a good father someday, Dalen."
That last comment stung. Dalen had been a good father before his life was ruined, a great one. But what about all the other countless children he had fathered since without even knowing? He wasn't a good father, nor would he let himself be one ever again. Dalen then noticed Lyra staring at them in consternation.
"What?" he said.
Lyra said nothing and turned back to sit facing away from them.
"Oh," Arik said, suddenly looking to Dalen's new backsword. "I can't believe I hadn't noticed till now. Where's Imperius?"
Dalen smiled and held out his right hand. Light began to shine from it and quickly formed into Imperius. Arik gasped, and even Lyra, who was still listening in, looked and then stood in shock, her mouth hanging open. Their reactions made revealing his new trick so worthwhile. Dalen raised Imperius and looked at the blade as he spoke.
"Seeing the Archon over there do this gave me all the clues I needed. Sonicals are essentially solid light objects, and as a light binder I can draw light into myself. It's that simple."
"So it's not creation, but light absorption,"
Arik said, looking to Lyra. Lyra was visibly perturbed.
"Another secret of the Archknights, as it turns out," Dalen said, looking at Lyra. "I wouldn't be surprised if all Archons kept a sunforged sword stored within them, as well as a few other sonicals."
Lyra sneered.
"If you tell anyone, I'll..."
"Hey, I wasn't the one who used this ability in public."
"That was different."
"Exactly," Dalen said. "If my life is being threatened, to hell with your secrets." He gripped Imperius tightly. "Anyway, even if people see me do it, no one will figure out that I can store sonicals within me. They'll just think I can create swords in the same way as the Bringer's miracle. I'm guessing you've used that ability in front of people before, and yet the secret is still kept."
Lyra grimaced at him and didn't reply. "Glad to see that we understand each other."
"You've clearly finished breakfast," Lyra said. "Get your things. We're leaving."
"No. I said..."
"Oh, shove it up your ass."
"Dalen,"
Arik warned.
"You shove it too, Bringer,"
Dalen said, before turning back to Lyra.
"I'm no one's whipping boy, and you better not try and order me around, girl, or we're going to have a big problem. Got it?"
Dalen felt guilty as soon as he had finished. It was so easy to forget who Lyra was when he became angry or frustrated. His appearance had a very unfair effect over her, and it was cruel to use it even by accident. It was clear that whenever he did, something retreated within Lyra. She was still broken and afraid. Even now her face was an image of consternation and hidden anxiety. Lyra held her gaze on Dalen for a moment, before turning and walking to her room, shutting the doors behind her.
Lyra's head rested on the doors of her room as she wept, bitterly. He was more like his father than she could bear. He looked exactly the same. His height and posture, even his way of speaking, were all identical. And when he got angry or annoyed, that was the hardest of all. When he spoke that way, she was a trapped little girl again, completely under his power. No matter what she tried, that voice cowed her as completely as if she had just been raped all over again. Lyra gasped as her sorrow grew. How could she do this? It was impossible. She had thought she could separate the boy from his father, but he was too similar to the bastard. A knock rung on the door, causing her to jump back. She sighed in frustration, angry at how weak she was. She hated being weak and helpless more than anything. She tried to take stock and walked away from the door, straightening her posture and wiping away her tears. She turned back to the door. "Yes?"
"It's me,"
came the voice that had been burned into her memory. Without seeing where the voice came from, it was as if the monster himself had spoken, and in that instant her strength vanished. Lyra slowly fell to the floor as she began to cry once more. The doors opened and the boy entered, closing them behind him. She hadn't locked it. Idiot.
"Go away,"
she said pathetically through her tears. He crossed half of the floor between them and stopped. Silence. She eventually looked and saw that the boy was crying too. Why would he be crying?
"I'm sorry for how I spoke to you," he said. "There's no excuse for it."
The idiocy. She wasn't upset that a teenage boy had spoken strong words to her, and in reality he had done nothing wrong. Her hostility was purely because of who he looked like, which wasn't his fault.
"You don't understand," she said. "Actually, I do."
What did he mean by that?
"I lied when I said I didn't know what my father did to you. I can only imagine what seeing my face must do. You deserve to be free of that bastard forever, and I'm sorry."
Tears came back to Dalen's face as he said this, impassioned and heartbroken.
"I'm so very sorry for what happened to you."
She looked up at him and saw no lie in his eyes. The boy's sorrow was so keen that it was as if he blamed himself for what his father had done. And it was in that moment that something changed within Lyra. This man, was nothing like his father. The image of Dalen, the young man torn apart by pain, sorrow, and such profound guilt, was such a great contrast to the image of the great bastard that she had within her mind. Lyra stood, feeling calm for the first time in his presence.
"You don't need to apologize, Dalen."
His self-deprecating look conveyed that he didn't think so.
"I'm sorry. You don't deserve to be judged because of your father." "Perhaps I do," he said with a cryptic twist of his lips. "No, I knew your father. He was a cruel and heartless wretch. You're nothing like him."
Dalen laughed, to Lyra's confusion.
"That's good to hear. It's really the whole reason for my life at the moment."
"That's as good a purpose as any, I suppose." They stood in silence, and Lyra saw something in the young man's eyes. Age. His eyes looked old, and had a depth in them that she couldn't understand. With those eyes, how he talked and handled himself, and his greater height, it could be very easy to forget how young he was. And then Lyra realized something. For the time they had been looking at each other, Lyra hadn't seen the young man's father. Instead, she saw who he really was. Dalen, the young man, just trying his best to be the best man he could.
"Would you mind if we left for the constabulary now?" Dalen asked. "I think it's about time."
Was that a veiled concession to her authority?
"Yes."
"That would be good," Lyra said, and Dalen opened the door for her as they left.